I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Just sighing, just because I'm sighing because, firstly, we recorded this on a Monday morning, which is always, I feel like Monday morning is always like an intense day. I feel like if I was Prime Minister, I would say the weekend starts on a Saturday and finishes on a Monday evening. And so you'd have Monday off. And so your week would begin on a Tuesday. So that's why I'm sighing that. But also I'm sighing because I just had one of the coolest cats around on the podcast. This guy is so, what he's done in his life is incredible. Jason Fox, you probably know him best from SAS Who Dares Wins. He was Marine, he was in the SAS, he's done tours, he's done everything. He's wrapped his shit in cling film, he told me, and put it in his backpack because he had to do an OP, which will be explaining this whole thing. But it was unbelievable what this guy has been through. But also one of the most humble, kind of down-to-earth guys that I think I've met. You know, it's weird because you talk to people, you know, who from the military background, who have been through war and experienced death and experienced all these kind of things, and you expect them to be a certain way, but he's so chilled and so kind of lives in the moment and doesn't really think too much about the past and the future, and just a wicked guy. We spoke a lot about mental health and things like that because he struggled with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, which is in his book Battle Scars, which is out, which go and get it. It's insane. But yeah, this I just really loved this podcast. It was quite an intense one. So letting you guys know now, it was a nice intense one, but it has to be intense when we talk about these kind of things. But he was great. Francis isn't here because he's down working in the countryside at the moment, so he couldn't make it, but it was just me and Foxy together, just hanging out like two lads. Well, not very two lads. He had like a coffee and I had a water. Not very laddish of us. And I had some porridge before I arrived. Anyway, enjoy the podcast. This is one of my favorite. It's so good. Hope you enjoy it. Yeah, here it is. Jason Fox. Enjoy. Do you find podcasts are quite intimate? Do you not think?
Are they? Yeah, they are. But I like them.
But they're intimate because you're kind of just like, especially if it's like a one-on-one podcast like this one is, it feels like it's quite kind of an intimate situation.
What is a podcast? Who made up that word?
This is the thing I was thinking. I don't know. But it sounds right for what it is. Hmm. You know what I mean?
Did they make it up?
Well, Apple.
Yeah.
Well, do you think you could say Apple because we're just not going to be discussed because it's a brand?
I didn't know. You know, I didn't want to offend anyone.
Yeah, we only can talk about Nokia
because obviously they made iPods. So did they come up with the podcast?
I think they must have done.
You see where I'm going with this?
But it's like all these things. This is what I find about names, right? Is that like if you think about something like if someone said, "Oh, I'm going to start a company called Google," you'd be like, "What? What do you mean?" But then now, but it sounds perfect, right?
Well, it's its own thing now, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's why. So it's like the same with podcasts. Who thought of the name podcast? Or also, like you said, what is a podcast? Is it like an audiobook? Is it radio on demand? I just don't really know.
It's a pod that's cast out to the masses. But I don't get the pod bit anyway. But anyway.
Hello everyone, welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and solid details of our lives. Join me today. Do you know, I am so excited for this one. I'm not even kidding you, I am. Jason Fox, everybody. Oh my, look, I don't know who I'm cheering to. I'm cheering almost to myself. Hey, do people go wild when they see you now? I think they do a little bit. I think they do, man.
They don't.
You don't think so?
No one knows who I am. I'll tell you what does happen sometimes is someone will be like that. Did we go to school together? And it's normally like an old 70-year-old woman. I'm like, ah, no, we fucking didn't. Thank you very much.
Do they do that? So you now walking down the street, you get recognised a little bit though, right?
A little bit. Not too much.
But also, I suppose with like what you've done and things like that, is that you're really like approachable. That's like super approachable, which I always find.
Why? What's those things?
Well, I don't know. Because you're known for like... everyone knows you on television, SAS, Who Dares Wins, and things like that, and being in the military. I suppose that would make me think that you wouldn't be approachable, but you're incredibly approachable. And people do like coming up to you and talking to you, but maybe that's because they feel like they can talk to you about something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose. Most of the blokes that I know that I've worked with are the same.
Really?
Yeah, everyone... I don't know what people expect. I think they expect, like, some mysterious individual that just... gives everyone death stares, but
that's not the case.
No, they're all like decent lads. They're all quite fun. Yes, they do. There's lads that, you know, there's lads that care about what they wear and what they look like, and you know, some of them have had. I used to give people shit for having hair straightener. I'd walk into someone.
No one had hair straighteners. You're like
100%, 100%.
Foxy, they did not have hair straighteners.
And if the person that is I'm on about is hearing this, he'll be like, ooh.
But this is the thing, you know, let's start from the very beginning, right? Because you joined the Marines at 16 years old, didn't you?
Yeah.
Which is insane, like going in. But, you know, and I sort of read this thing where, well, you can explain it better, but you wanted to kind of impress your dad, right? Your dad was, you looked up to your dad a lot, and you thought that was why it would be a good thing to go into. Wasn't that right?
Yeah, there was an element of that. I went to school. I didn't do anything at school, but I did go to school, and I didn't do very well, but it was in It was in Luton.
Lovely. I love Luton Airport.
Do you?
No, I hate it. It's everyone's most hated airport, I think. And like Stansted.
I spoke to someone the other day, and they said, oh, I really love Luton Airport. I was like, I nearly banged them out. I was like, you're fucking joking me. You can't. That's like ridiculous. I went there. I've only been there once, and it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
It was the worst thing I've ever done. It was that bad. It was my mate. My mate sorted me out the tickets because it was a work thing. Uh-huh. He said, oh, you're flying from Luton. And I was going to the Isle of Man.
And you thought, Luton private jet. You're like, this
no,
is what I'm going
to
be doing.
It was that shit that I bought my own ticket back to City and then just mugged off the flight back to Luton because it was horrendous.
Because it was that bad.
It was terrible.
Wait, so you went to a school in Luton?
Yeah, just out, around that area.
Is there like just an... There's basically just an airport and a school in Luton. That's it, isn't it?
Well, there's a few factories and... It's a sprawling mass. It's like an overflow from London, apparently.
Yeah.
It's not nice. Anyway, that's... I go off on mega tangents.
But you went... So you went to school there and you weren't that good in school and things like that. Were you kind of a... But you, were you what, like a reckless kid? Were you kind of like one of those kids who just didn't care? Or what was it?
I just wasn't good. I wasn't academic. I enjoyed being out and about and doing like practical stuff, but just sat in a classroom, I just didn't really apply myself.
Yeah, but this is my problem. This is my problem with school, right? And this is what I always get like, is that, okay, you know, at school, I wasn't good at that either. I didn't apply myself either. But however, you know, if you applied yourself to something, then you became good at it, right? And the same as me, if I apply myself to something, I'm good at it. And the problem with school is that you're shit at school if you're not good at maths and you're not good at history and things like that. And that's like a completely wrong way to, it doesn't really tee you up for further life.
It's narrow.
Yeah, in its, completely.
It's blinkered and it's sort of, if you're not good at the curriculum, then you're shit, apparently.
Yeah. But
that's why there's a big problem with stuff nowadays in the inner city, is because the most kids are probably like that. Well, I'm being told I'm shit at everything, so I must be shit at everything. But actually, they're probably decent people, and they probably know how to hold a conversation. And
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
But you weren't told you were shit at things, were you? Or do you just think you were just shit at it?
I just didn't really do that well. I didn't get great. Well, I didn't get any qualifications, so to speak.
Did you not?
It was always the same, you know, if only he applied himself.
Yeah, yeah, the same.
If only you gave me something that I wanted to fucking apply myself to then.
So you just didn't, so you were just like, you couldn't be bothered with work. What was your focus then? What did you like to do? Because every kid, like, was it chasing girls? Was it like doing sports? Was it?
Bit of sport, chasing girls, but I wasn't very good at that.
What, the sport or the chasing girls?
Both. I suppose it was mainly just the sport I really enjoyed.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't, you know, I'm no good at maths. I hate, numbers freak me out. I did enjoy geography.
What?
I just enjoyed...
That's a random one. Why do you like, because it was like capitals? Because you liked all the erosion rock or whatever it is they talk about.
Well, it just talks about the world and travelling and, you know, there's other places outside of Luton. I suppose that's one of the other reasons I joined the military, just to get out and about.
Well, do you think that's what it is? Because maybe you then had this like obsession with like, travel and things like that, and so you thought there was like a bigger world out there.
Yeah.
So you wanted to go and experience it.
Yeah.
But were you not one of those kids who just thought you were destined for greater things?
No, I don't know.
Do you not think
I didn't
that?
See it like that. No, I don't think about stuff too much, so I just live in the moment a lot.
But that's a really kind of good way to be, because I think then a lot of people start to overthink things.
Mm.
And when you overthink things, that's when sort of like issues. Like I was, as a kid, I was such an overthinker, like overthought everything. So like whether it was like, but also I had so much pressure on me growing up that I had to like, my brother was like a super clever guy. So he was like getting all the exams and doing all the great things of that. And also me growing up, it was all about academia. If you weren't clever, then you weren't achieving anything. So I very much felt that I was just useless. That's what I felt growing up. And so I had to find my path, and that's when I went and joined Made in Chelsea, because it was more of like a rebellion thing, I suppose.
Oh, really?
I think it was. Yeah, I think I wanted to rebel.
How did you get into it?
Well, they basically wanted to do a TV show where they wanted to call it Smokers.
Right.
Which was about...
I think I've met the woman that created it.
You would have met a girl called Sarah Dillerstone.
Yeah, she
was one of the beginning people. And they basically went to different clubs in London and found a group of people partying and said, do you guys want to do that? And at the beginning, they said, do you want to be followed? You're posh. Do you want to be followed with a camera? I thought, that's a pile of shit. I have no ways I want to do that. And then what happened was, is that it then became popular. And I was like, well, I don't want to go and get a proper job. I didn't want to go and work in the city and things. I want to do something completely different. And so I decided to go and do it. But it's probably the same as you, because when you weren't getting your exams and things like that. So you then, did you think that the military was the only way to kind of escape? Or what was it?
Yeah, I think it was the only thing. I had basically fucked everything up. So I was like, right, well, I've got to do something. I've got to get a job.
But what do you mean fucked everything up? You were like 16 years old though.
Yeah, exactly. But I hadn't really jacked myself up with anything that could lend itself to get a job in any other industry. It wasn't, you know what I mean? I didn't feel, and I figured that I'd throw all my eggs into one basket. So I was like, all right, I'll join the military, hope this works out. And it did work out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But was it you hear all of these like stories and things like that at the beginning where it's going into the ultimate like hard man school. It's tough, right? You're thrown in there and you have to kind of pick and choose what you say and what you do at the beginning, right? Or is that not the case?
I didn't really know what I was letting myself in for.
Really?
Yeah. I was physically fit enough.
Uh-huh.
But that wasn't the issue. The issue was like looking after myself. So being able to administer yourself. So like clean your clothes, hang them up to dry, iron them, fold them up neatly. All that stuff was what freaked me out. I wasn't able to do it in a timely manner. So I was always late. I was always getting in the shit. I'd be on the phone to my mum crying.
And
all the other bits were fine. Like being mucking around in the mud, being a soldier, running around.
That was okay.
Yeah, I loved that stuff. It's the bullshit that goes with being in the military that does my head in.
Yeah, but is the bullshit stuff the stuff that's meant to like teach you to... It's the discipline, right? Discipline, which is the most important thing.
So it is important, but it was essentially once I did obviously eventually get my head round it, but, you know, at first that was the bit that nearly tripped me up because I didn't have my mum helping me.
Yeah, but I think that's why... It's weird. It's so funny. This is what I think happens as you grow. I remember... Because I went to a boarding school, right, where everything is done for you. Like, you have your... And the boarding school is a bit like the army in the sense where you get, like... You're told to wake up at this time, you're told to go to bed at this time, you're told to eat at this time, you're told to train at this time, and you have to make your bed and stuff like that. But everything was done for me. And so, therefore, when I came out of schools and things like that, and I started living my own life, I didn't realise that, oh, if I didn't pay a bill on time, that was going to be... Or if I didn't do this. And that was a real big struggle for me. But in the military, what happens is that you're taught to survive on yourself, right?
But then... Everything is still done for you. So, like, I left 6 years ago, and that was a massive wake-up call because, obviously, I didn't have to do tax returns. It was done for me.
Yeah, so nothing.
I would get a memo saying you need to go and visit the dentist. I didn't even have to pay for the dentist. So I'd just go to the dentist because I was told I had
there.
To.
Yeah, yeah.
And the doctors and everything else. And everything's done for you. And then you come out, and the next thing you know, it's a big world out
and
there.
And there's suddenly a world out there, right?
Yeah,
and
there's a tax man out there as well.
Fucking hell, I know. But this is the thing, right? So you're 16 years old. You're like, God, I don't really know what to do. I haven't got a clue, but I'm going to go and join the military just because whatever. So you decide to join the Marines.
Yeah.
But the Marines is notoriously known as like the most hardcore. It's the Marines and the Paras. As in from an outsider looking in, that's what you know.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Marines, Paras, and then you go on to SAS. And you know there's like the sort of three hardest things to do.
Right.
So why are you picking the Marines then? Why don't you go into like the Scots Guards or something?
The Scots Guards are all right as well.
Are they all right?
Let's not diss them.
No. My dad was in the Scots Guards. Yeah, but he got kicked out because he didn't really like it because he just didn't do anything. And my stepdad was in 1520s, 1020s, 1420s, 1320s. I don't know, something like that. But why did you pick the Marines?
Because my dad was in them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there was another influencing factor.
Mm-hmm.
Him telling a couple of stories, and I figured, well, if I'm going to do something, I better go and do the same sort of thing as him. Otherwise, he's going to give me shit for the rest of my life.
Yeah, but is that because you wanted to like impress your dad, or were you just...
Yeah, probably. I wanted to prove to him that I was good enough to do that sort of stuff. Sounded fun.
But what? Because you didn't think you were good enough, or what was it? Because you didn't you felt like you hadn't impressed him, or what was it?
No, I don't know.
Because I think that's what a lot of people have sometimes. Where, you know, with my dad, my parents divorced when I was 8 years old, and my dad was all about again being academic. So he paid for my school education, so my boarding school,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, if I didn't get good grades, I wasn't like he didn't really appreciate what I was doing, even though I was like captain of sports and things like that. So I very much felt throughout my life until I was about 18 years, when I had to sort of make him happy in a sense. So I was trying to do things in order to make him proud, which is a weird concept.
I think I'd say that's the same as me. I probably wanted to make my dad proud. He was like a role model for me. I always looked up to my dad, so I wanted to make him proud.
Yeah,
I suppose that's why another main reason.
But then, what happens when you so give me a little taste of it? So, what happens when you first go into the Marines? Is it like a boarding school sense where you don't go home, you're just there, and they go, right, here you go?
So you do basically you go to the careers office. So I went to the careers office, and there's some stuffy colour sergeant, they call them, rank. And he's like, you know, I say, okay, you want to join the Marines? All right, we'll get on that pull-up bar and see how many pull-ups you can do. And I think, I can't remember how many I did, not that many. And he's like, right, okay, we need to improve that. Now you need to go and sit down, you do a test. Then what you do is you go to Limpston, which is where they do the training down near Exmouth in Devon. And you do I think it's 4 days called, when I did it, it was called a potential recruits course. It's now called a potential Royal Marines course. You go down there, you just get fucking fragged for 4 days. And it's and then at the end of it, you either pass or you fail, and I pass. And then they give you a date for when you join and you start your 30 weeks training. Or it's now 32 weeks. I've added a couple of weeks in.
32 weeks of training?
Yeah.
Every single day?
Yeah, every day. Yeah, a couple of Sundays off.
Are you fucking joking? What are you doing, running up and down mountains and just like doing things like that?
Sort of, yeah. The first, so you turn up, they've got their own train station. You stop, you get off, and there's a bloke there waiting for you. You then get marched up the hill into the base, straight to the hairdresser's. Well, he's not a hairdresser, he's a fucking lunatic with a set of shears. He just takes all your hair off, cuts it short. And then you get given so much kit, you don't know what to do with it, and then you get shown how to... You're
just basically learning to swim.
Yeah, you get walked into the shower block, and a bloke comes in and with nothing on, and then shows you how to wash everything. And I was like, the fuck's going on here? But there are people
out
there.
You're lying.
It's 100%. This is the truth. But I was like, why are we getting... I know how to... But there are people out there that don't. There's people that join the military who have had their mums washing them.
No, man. Come on.
It's true.
No way. There just can't be. There's no way.
It's true. It's a true story.
What? So you're arriving there, but then...
You get taught everything from scratch. Brushing teeth, everything.
You don't get taught brush. Come on, the basics. There's no way you can't be taught to eat your food and brush your teeth and things.
Not
like that.
Not eat your food, but you get taught. You know, you get taught how. You get taught how to wash every bit of your body.
That's such a weird scenario. They could do it
as a theory lecture, but they don't. It's a practical. You know, like someone walks in and is like, da da.
What the fuck is that? What the hell is it? Going to the military?
A picture paints 1,000 words.
But then, okay, so then you do your 30-week thing, or what, 32 one now, and you do that, and you, at the end of that, because you're probably not thinking, in your head, are you thinking, right, this is my career, this is what I want to do, or are you just kind of going just with it? You're like, all right, I've just done now 30 weeks.
Bit of both. It is definitely a career. It's a life, really.
Really?
Yeah. It takes, it's everything, yeah.
But why is it life? And I think this is what I find so interesting about, you know, people who go into the military and things like that, is that everyone always says it is, it's a life and it's a career and it's all this and that. But what is it about it that becomes, you have such a connection and such kind of like there's such camaraderie and everything like that within it. Why is there that? Is it because you're doing everything together all the time? Or what
I think
is it?
So, yeah. I think it's different for different people. Some people don't enjoy it. And they won't stay long and they'll go.
Yeah.
But for me, I didn't enjoy all the pomp and ceremony that goes with being in the military. So I didn't enjoy all the parades and fucking polishing my boots and brassoing all the bits and pieces you need to do.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed being a soldier, like living out in the sticks and crawling around in dirt and
See, that's what everything I would hate. I would literally hate to go crawling around in the dirt and like. But I don't understand what in you makes you like all that kind of stuff. Is it the adventure of it?
I suppose, yeah. I mean, it's not. It's difficult. It's weird trying to understand why you like it, because when you're in it, you're like, ah, this is shit.
Yeah.
But there is a sense of achievement when you do stuff. You know, when you're sat in a hole for 2 weeks with your mates watching a building shitting into cling film, stuff like that.
Set up. No, you don't do that.
Yeah. You do.
So when you're doing like an ambush or something like that, you're or whatever it is, or you're waiting, you're doing like a, what is it called when you're watching something? That's what you have to do.
That's called an OP, an observation post.
Okay, so break this down quickly. So someone says to you, right, you need to go out here for 2 weeks.
Mm. So you'll look for an. So say you're watching something. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter what it is. You'll go and do what is called an OP. You get taught it when you're in training. You go find a location. You can do it different ways. You can do one where you like. Sort of cut your way into a hedge, and then you cut the inside of a hedge out, and you live inside the hedge. So, you know, you're hidden. Or you can dig a hole in the ground, and there's ways of doing it. You can live underground with little holes, and you're watching people. But once you're in, you're in. So you always go in at night, and you establish yourself, and then once you're in, you're in. So you can't come out, because obviously the baddies might be able to see you.
For how long are you there?
Well, you can be anything, any time, you know, any protracted amount of time. You know,
Foxy, it's so not like a year.
Not a year, no.
But you're
no,
there for like 2 weeks.
You could be there for 2 weeks, yeah.
Shitting into cling film,
yeah. Wrapping it up and then putting it in the top of your rucksack. It's true. You don't believe me, do you?
I think I do, yeah. But I find it just so... This is what I find, like, just amazing, is that... That's what you're doing for 2 weeks, and you're looking after and protecting people. And I will wake up in the morning, I'll complain that I have a spot on my forehead. Do you know what I mean? Like, in a sense, and like people,
yeah, that still happens as well.
Yeah, for sure. But it's just, you know, or I can complain because I have to take a 4-hour car journey to Manchester to go and do something. I'll be like, oh, God, that's been annoying. But you're doing that. You're sitting in these places doing that for 2 weeks. Mm. What do you think about when you're doing something like that? How do you let your mind wander?
You sort of, well, you're in the moment. You're thinking about, you know, you just go back to proper basics. You're like, oh, right, what am I going to be eating for lunch? What's in my ration pack? And you get it out. You're like, ooh, bacon and beans. And you just, you know, you mull over stuff. You'll be chatting to the lads about stuff that's going on, relationships. No, it's no different to anything else. You're just doing something that's slightly odd.
Yeah, but also, but is it not scary as well?
It can be. Yeah, you sort of are also very aware of what's going on around you, and you know, but they, you sort of talk about all that other stuff in the peripheries, but actually, you know, you're focusing on what it is you're supposed to be looking at, and you know, you're making sure that you write, you know,
you're writing
down,
it all down,
writing out down all the information, yeah, taking pictures and all that sort of shit.
Okay, so you're in this place for like 2 weeks, and you're doing an OP,
yeah.
And you're watching it, and then how does someone get you out? Do you get radioed? Does someone come up to you? Does someone climb and say, right, that's it, boys, and nothing's happened for 2 weeks, but you then swap over?
It naturally becomes something that you either continue, you know, you're like, right, we've gained as much information as we can, so then you wait until the dark hours, and then you'll extract. That's the correct terminology for it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Dude, this is insane. I just find it just so... And also, do you know, it's probably irritating for you. Not irritating, but you'll get asked the same questions, and people come up to you and they'll want to ask the same stories and the same things and over and over again. But it's because it's such a separate, it's such a different world.
Yeah,
to...
no, it's fine. I don't mind. I quite... It's got, like, now, talking about it, I'll probably... It's quite fun because I think back and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember when we did that.
Mm-hmm. So then you're 16, you've done your 30-week course and you've done your things. What happens after that? Do you then go, right, you're now a Marine?
Yeah.
So you then say, okay, here's your badge, you're now a Marine. Right, let's get to work. Because what happens when they say, right, let's get to work? What happens on a daily basis? Do you know what I mean?
So
it's not like you're going into an office every day, is it?
No, I went and joined a unit, so there's a few different units around, and each unit is about 600 guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined my unit, and you sort of just start training to be... You actually start learning more then than you did in training, because your hair's on fire in training. You're like, what the hell's going on here? And you just do what you need to do to get through.
You're just trying to impress. You're just trying to do anything to get through.
Exactly, yeah. And then once you're in, then you start to actually learn the stuff that you were trying to learn in training, because it's slowed down slightly. You live with the lads. I lived in an accommodation block in Taunton.
Quite nice. Love Taunton.
Yeah, Taunton's very nice.
It's so nice.
It's a market town, isn't it?
Yeah.
Boring. No, it's not. I'm sorry. It's actually quite good on the piss.
It's always like in Devon, isn't it? It's all laid out.
It's Somerset.
Is it Somerset? Yeah, Somerset. Just Taunton. Yeah. But so then you're doing that, and so you're then training. But what is your, because your fitness is probably at a peak, right? So you can't really get any fitter than what you are. Yeah, you can go on runs and things like that and do a little bit of that. But what is the main thing you're trained as a Marine? What are they training you towards? So every single day they're going, right, we need to work
on that. You'll go and do different things. You know, you'll learn how to operate in lots of different environments.
Uh-huh.
So you'll go to Norway and you'll learn how to operate in the extreme cold weather. You'll go to somewhere in the Middle East or the States and learn about living in an arid country, you know, the desert. You'll go to the jungle. You'll learn how to operate in the jungle. So you're basically learning how to... Everyone thinks it's about fighting. It's not. The fighting bit's quite small. Although you concentrate on that the most, it's more about how you look after yourself in those environments.
It's survival, right?
Yeah, you do a bit of survival and you concentrate on that. But it's more about, like, living in the jungle. The biggest thing there is just washing yourself. Keeping on top of your personal admin so your boots don't fall apart, your kit doesn't fall apart, and you can still operate, and then you go out and fight.
Really?
Soldiering is basically looking after yourself
to your best ability. So you can survive and keep going, and you can be ready to fight at any time.
Yeah.
But what is K-Fine? What, when you've done all those different terrains and things like that, when you've done like Norway, the cold, and you've done the jungle, you've done the heat, what is the worst terrain to be in and trying to push on forward when you're just sort of trying to get through it?
I mean, it's difficult, that one, because they all have their own little epics. The jungle's hard.
See, I would think that's not bad. It's kind of a bit like tropical. It's quite nice.
Everything wants to kill you. Even the trees. There's these trees, they call them bastard trees, and they've got like barbed things, and you get caught in them and you're like, it's just tearing things off you.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's like, you know, everything's out there to get you. I've been stung by scorpions like God knows how many times. I've been stung on my ball back.
No, you haven't. By a scorpion?
Yeah, a little one crawled in.
Did it blow up, your ball back? Did it not?
No, it was all right. It just hurt. It felt like a hot pin.
What do you do? Do you have to go, someone have to suck out the poison? What happened? No. Is that what happened?
No, I just left it. It was fine.
Is that, see, all these kind of things, you just leave it. This is what I don't get. I honestly had a bite on my arm the other day, and I thought it got infected, so I went to the hospital. So I sat in the hospital trying to get it fixed.
So you thought the jungle would be good. You'd have a mare, honestly.
But what about the desert? I would say the desert would be way worse than saying that the jungle. Jungle, at least you've got water and stuff like that. Desert's
dry. It's hot. It's annoyingly hot, but...
Yeah.
It's all right.
And cold's fine as well?
I like the cold. Yeah.
You like the cold?
Well, it's as long as it's like a dry cold. Yeah. Not here cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the UK is renowned for being pretty crap. But like Norway in January is like crisp.
So it's that clear, cold. Yeah, so it's a bit nicer. Yeah. But then, okay. But then, what I find interesting, right? So you've done all your training. You're in your sort of 600 person sort of, what is it called? A regiment.
In the Marines, it's called a commando unit.
So your unit.
Yeah.
And you're kind of just going for it. And then was there a moment when they suddenly go, right, guys, we're going on tour. We're doing this. We've been called into it.
It took a while. I spent about 9 years in the Marines. Basically travelling the world, playing sport and getting drunk. It was fun.
Sounds amazing.
And it was awesome.
That sounds really amazing.
Yeah, had some great times. Yeah. But
because there was nothing going on.
There wasn't really that much. It was at the time when Ireland was going on, but that was sort of slowing down, and it happened that I missed tours to that part of the world.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, it used to be hectic and quite busy and quite hard, but you know, obviously it sort of stopped, really.
Yeah.
And then what happened was I didn't know whether I wanted to stay in the military. So this was like at the 9-10 year point. And I thought, well, I enjoy being a soldier, but I hate all the crap that goes with it. So I figured, well, if I'm going to stay in the military, I'm going to try and join the special forces because I enjoy the soldiery bit.
Do you know what? Sometimes it's not like that. It's just so funny. Because it's just, I think this is just sums you up. And it's such a magical way to be, because I don't think you really, because you sort of just go, Well, I'm just 16. I'm not pretty sure anything, but I'll just go into the Marines. I'm quite good at this. And you get through it and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. And then you say 9 years and you go, might as well try the Special Forces, you know, whatever. I'll just go and give it a go. But do you know how, like you said before at the beginning, which is so interesting, you don't overthink things. And possibly that's your superpower, is the fact that you just feel like you can just go and do it.
Yeah.
So you spent 9 years, then you thought you'd go into the Special Forces.
Well, I figured I'd give it a crack.
Okay, so what happens then? So
It was hard.
Well, how hard? Go on, tell me.
Without giving too much away.
Because you can't say too much,
but you know, you start. It was in the winter. It was in January.
When you say you can't say things, and I get that there's like a code and things like that. Is it like a contract you have to sign, or is it just a code? It's a code that you have. There's an unwritten thing.
It's a bit of paper.
Oh, there actually is. Oh, so it's not just like a bond between there's actually a thing that you can't say.
Yeah, there's a bit of paper. So there's lots of different things I can't talk about. But
sure,
there's ways that I can talk about stuff. So like, you know,
so
you
it's January.
You turn up in January into Wales, and the first thing you do actually, you turn up on a. I can't remember what day it was. I think it was a Saturday. But the first thing you do is on the Sunday morning.
Okay.
And it's a run with carrying a rucksack for bloody 8 miles or whatever it is.
And the rucksack's heavy.
It's heavy, yeah. And it's hard work. But I don't know why I thought it was a good idea, but me and a few lads went on the piss.
The night before,
yeah.
Perfect,
it
yeah,
was,
yeah.
Honestly, horrendous. It was horrendous. Did the 8 mile run and then just
vomited while you're doing it.
But yeah, then that was the start of my selection course.
And then the selection course goes on for how long? For a few, same as Marines type thing?
It's about 6 months.
Is like it?
That. Yeah, so you sort of, the first 4 weeks are just, I think there was 350 people started mine. And
all starting it together, 350 people.
Yeah.
And selection process happens once a year or every 6 months?
It's twice a year.
Twice a year.
Yeah.
So you go, right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to sign up for this. You turn up there, there's 350 people, and then they start, like G.I. Jones style, they start whittling it down.
Yeah, there's no one shouts. That's the thing about it, is like, there's no one there shouting at you. There's no one there telling you you're doing a good job or you're doing a shit job. It's even worse. Yeah. So when you're running over the mountains and what have you, every day you go off and you spend 5 to 8 hours running over the mountains, navigating your way through whatever. And then you never know whether you've made the time, because everything's timed, obviously. You don't know what the times are. They never tell you. You just go. You can try and work it out. You don't know where you're going.
Do you ever watch or no?
Yeah, you have a watch. But what you get, you turn up at a start point and someone will be like that. And you go off, and there's different routes, different, you know, no one goes in the same direction. You're on your own. And one of the DS, the directing staff, will be like that, right, say, they'll be like that, Fox. So I'm like, they're like that, right, show me where you are on the map. So I show him and he goes, right, where you're now going to such and such a grid. Show me where that is. He's like, go on then. And off you go. And then you meet, and if you get to that place, there'll be someone else telling you where to go next. You never know where exactly you're going and when the finish is. Then you'll come in at the, you'll finish it at some point, you'll get driven back. You get in the back of an army train, you get driven back. And then you don't know whether you've passed. But what happens is you go in for your evening meal in the canteen, and there's a big list of names. And if you've got a red mark next to your name, you just go in, pack your kit, and fuck off. No one says anything.
Fuck, what?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is the most intense thing I've ever heard. That's literally the process how it happens.
Yeah, no one's shouting at you. No one's screaming and shouting. It's all very grown up. And then basically...
If you get that ready, you're like, well, what have I done wrong?
You didn't make the time. That's it. You go on. You just go back to whatever.
Go back to whatever you were doing before.
Yeah.
So you're then doing this, and slowly, bit by bit, you start with 350 people, and bit by bit, they're being whittled down. And then how many people did you get to at the end when you were doing your one?
I think it was either 8 or 10.
So it's literally like...
Yeah, it's brutal. It's hard work.
So if you have like a camera in the room, just solely it's people just disappearing one by one and just left with you guys in there.
Yeah.
And does it get harder and harder as it goes along?
It's just different. It's like the biggest, the hardest thing on the whole thing is your own brain. because you're always like overanalyzing yourself. You're like, fuck, am I doing well? Or you'll do something. Everyone fucks up. Everyone makes mistakes. Yeah. It's how you come back from those mistakes and how you react to them. So you'll see some people who do something, and we all make the same mistakes, really. But you'll see some people like, oh my God, that's it. I failed. And they'll take themselves off the course.
Yeah.
When actually all they needed to do is stay on and just forget about that. Not do it again, but just, you know, use it in a positive way.
But that's the thing. I suppose that the kind of like selection process is all about the mental strength, right? It's about how mentally you can get yourself through different situations.
Yeah.
But do you think, and then when you, I suppose that sort of leads on to the things, and I know you can't really talk about things this, but it's obviously for someone who's never been a part of it, it's interesting. There's obviously been situations for you which have been super scary, and intimidating. And I spoke to someone once who just said, you just sort of separate your mind from it, and so you just go, right, we're just doing it, this is what we do every day, and we get into it. Is that what you used to do as well? Is that what it kind of taught you to do, separate from the pain and the worry and the fear and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's a coping mechanism. But if you think about it, so for 9 years I was in the Marines and didn't see any combat,
really.
But I was training to do it. So what's happening is I'm learning how to do a skill. I'm learning about a job. But at the same time, subconsciously in the back of my head, I'm preparing myself. I'm conditioning my mind to be in shit situations.
Mm-hmm.
So then when it does happen, it's not a big deal. There's lots and lots. I've done it over and over and over and over again. It doesn't really bother me. So obviously it did at one point, you know, because I've.
But you're used to it now because this has happened loads of times. You're not used to it, but you understand the process that's happening.
You've been getting yourself. You're preparing yourself, even though you don't think you are, but mentally you are preparing yourself to be in a shit situation. So when the obvious hits the fan, you're all like, okay, you know, that's what we need to do, and you know, you just get on with it.
And again, I don't know what you can and can't say, but can you describe a moment where there's been a moment where you've gone, all right, this is actually pretty real right now? Has there been
a moment? There's a moment that I have spoken about in the past, and it was like, it's not like it was, I had not been in that sort of situation before. It was the moment that I suddenly, it was the probably the straw that broke the camel's back for me. And I'm like lying in a ditch getting shot at, and I can remember already found out that there was someone had died on the ground, like literally a few seconds before. I didn't know who, but I was lying in this ditch, and you know, I'm a senior guy as well, changing my magazine, and I suddenly had this overwhelming emotion pass through me, which was I wanted to be 10 years old again and at home with my mum. Which was a weird situation to find myself in. It would have been a fleeting. It was like seconds that I was thinking of that. But all it was I was shit scared.
Yeah, but that's because you know you what you're doing there is mentally you're going back to that place where you feel protected most.
Yeah.
And you feel and normality and safety. Yeah, and suddenly, and do you know what is so true, Fox, is that you know it's all sort of. It's the wrong phrase, but all fun and games until it becomes real. But do you know what I mean? It is. You know, you it was just training and stuff. And then when something becomes so real like that, it's like, oh my God.
But that moment I can visualise and talk about, that was towards the end of my career. I'd already been doing that for years.
Really?
I was happy with it. I enjoyed it.
But how? How can you...
Right.
Trying to explain
why do you enjoy it? You don't enjoy it. It's all the other things that go with it. So the fact that I'm with a bunch of guys that I can trust implicitly with my life is a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not not all of them are my best mates. You don't need to be best mates, but just knowing that there's an individual either left or right of me, or in front or behind, that you is a fucking good bloke.
Mm.
It's a nice feeling.
Yeah,
and you belong to something that was hard to get into, so there's a bit of kudos there. So it's more the other things. It's not necessarily that I enjoy getting shot at. I don't. It's the bits that come with it.
Foxy, this is why I love you, man. Oh my God, it's so freaking good. Hey, dude, listen, stick around for part two because I got so many more questions for you, and I got my diary. See you in part two, everybody.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.